MoneyWeb now on the money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Chatting with Brendan Naidoo, lead specialist investment propositions, insurance and asset management, Liberty Group, South Africa. Brendan, good to chat again. A couple of things I want to touch on, but I want to talk broadly offshore. And in particular, I mean, I think we get the case for investing offshore, but I think a lot of folks are looking right now and worried about, I don't know, valuations and bubbles and AI and everything. The short version is, for a long-term investor, wealth creation is mostly going to happen offshore. We're such a tiny part of the global economy.
Thanks, Simon. As always, a pleasure to chat to you. You're right. The case for offshore has certainly been made, and we've seen offshore investing change over the years from being a nice to have to becoming vital to now almost consider it essential.
Yeah.
I think that's the stage that we've got to. The question around valuations, are valuations looking frothy? Yeah, they are. They've looked frothy abroad for a number of years now, haven't they? But I think the bigger question is, look, I'm going abroad because I need a wider opportunity set than I have in South Africa. I want access to industries like AI that you mentioned, which will dominate for decades to come. And can I really get access to that in the listed market on South Africa's exchange right now? Probably not. So I think those are the dominating factors when going abroad. And of course, you've got the small matter of being a country on the southern tip of Africa with a volatile emerging market currency, which does not help the situation, albeit, you know, strengthening over the last few months.
But I take your point. And, you know, I mean, valuations, they come and go, but you don't necessarily need to be in the high expensive stuff. It's also, I like your point around essential. I would add to it, it's also become easy. 10 years ago, it was so easy. 20 years ago, getting offshore was really actually quite hard. These days, it really is, for anybody out there, a really simple process. And that's a big part of it.
No, absolutely. And if you think about it, the manners in which you can go offshore differ as well, right? So you and I are talking about offshore generally, but people could consider their RAN-based investment into an offshore fund. Mm-hmm. They could consider that offshore, right? The so-called asset swap, if you want to name it that. But when we're talking about going offshore in hard currency, you know, using your single discretionary allowance, that has become much easier than times gone by. Yes, most of the business is done via financial advisors. Going into the most typical option used when going abroad is the international endowment. And I'm sure you know all those reasons and your listeners would as well. But also going into investment accounts for the odd cases. And I tell you what's really picked up over the last number of years is the use of structured products. And more specifically, and I think this, when I say this, everyone's going to be nodding. Structured products give you upside opportunity with downside protection.
Yeah.
It feels like the best of both worlds. And that's why we've seen such an uptick in structured products. And I suppose being in a group like ours, we've actually got the ability to take a structured product, put it within an endowment, and now you've really got the best of both worlds there.
It's almost like magic. And I take your point. We've seen a significant growth in structured products, but they really are, again, 10 years ago, there were very few of them. Now they give you that downside. They give you the upside. It is kind of magic, but it is actually under the hood quite simple. And I think becoming a critical part of investors' portfolios.
Absolutely. And structures also give you the ability to, you know, if you look at it and you say, look, what structure am I investing in? Is it some fancy AI structure that gives me access and will form a satellite in my core satellite approach, right? Or am I invested in, you know, the S&P 500 and the Euro stocks to form the core part of my portfolio? So the way you use structures, whether you use it as a core or a satellite in your overall approach as well, differs from person to person, and we even see corporates using it as well.
Yeah, and I like that. It's around building that portfolio. A portfolio isn't all, you know, all in on NVIDIA. It's fun right now, but that could become painful. But then the next challenge, and there's 130,000 regulated funds globally. How do your fund solutions, how do your DFM teams, how do you sort through it and find the best in class? Because I got to be honest, I just look at the number of equities available and that overwhelms me.
No, look, I think you've hit the nail on the head there with the use of the word DFM. So discretionary fund managers have, and look, they've had global tailwinds and we've seen them really pick up in South Africa over the last number of years. And being part of our group, we've got a well-renowned DFM that's part of the group. Now, different businesses have different ways of curating these fund lists and getting to their essential buy list and eventually putting together a portfolio for their client, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think the manner in which you do your operational due diligence, your performance due diligence, the manner in which you curate those funds down will differ across the country, I'm sure, depending on which business you're talking to.
Mm-hmm.
But we make use of strategic relationships. Now, our fund solutions business will have a strategic relationship with the likes of a BNP Paribas, who will help us narrow down that list, because these guys are sitting, you know, in Europe and have access to the world via their thousands of analysts around the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's one manner in which you can curate your list and get it a little bit narrower and allow you to really dive into them and do the operational and performance due diligence that I was talking about. The other manner, which we're seeing become more and more popular, is form some strategic relationships with managers who are global players, and actually this is where they are experts. Now, again, and this isn't intended to be sort of punting here, but within the group, we formed a relationship via Stanlab Asset Management, a strategic relationship with JP Morgan Asset Management conglomerate, right? And more of these plays are happening in South Africa, because again, if you're sitting in the southern tip of Africa and you say to yourself, 130,000 funds available abroad, go pick one that will work for my client. Sheesh, that's a tough starting point.
Even more so for the individual. And it's why the importance of advice. And I know a lot of my listeners are DIY investors, and absolutely. Mm. But the respect is, I can't do the level of due diligence over a fraction of those funds. This is where advice really sort of pays for itself and earns its stripes.
Simon, when going abroad, I think advice almost earns its stripes and more, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because yes, there are complications, right? Complications that need to be factored in. Words that I've heard in your show many a time, like situs and probate, etc. But there's also more simplistic questions like, do you want a beneficiary for ownership or do you want a beneficiary for proceeds? That is going to impact your intergenerational wealth transfer plans, right? And it can get a bit further than that, because financial advisors are no longer just, you know, people who run numbers. We're talking here about people who are data gatherers, psychologists, behavioral scientists, problem solvers, communication specialists, and everything in between. But the role that they perform has moved on from being from being a service provider. I think they're now a strategic partner to a client.
I like that. And the psychologist part, I've beaten that drum so many times. They talk you off the ledge when you start to panic. We leave it there. Brandon Naidu, you find him, Liberty Group South Africa. Appreciate the time.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.